And welcome back to Tech Radio, featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer questions you might have. We have Matt Guru, Joel Brovelade on the air today. Hey, Joel, you staying warm today? Staying out of the snow?
Well, can't say I'm staying out of the snow. You know, you got a shovel. That's just the way it is.
and as I found out very early this morning, I kind of said to my wife, "Hey, what's that big noise out front?" She says, "I don't know." And part of my tree fell down.
So,
not only shoveling snow, but removing large limbs from driveways and sidewalks
at least
and things.
They weren't your limbs.
Exactly. Yeah, that is definitely heart attack snow out there today. It's it is heavy stuff.
For sure.
So people need to watch that. We can swing this over to the tech side of things. As I was going through my email this morning, man, my UPS, my uninterruptible power supply for my computer, was just banging away this morning. That thing was getting a workout.
Goodness.
I don't know if you guys have had some, power lines slapping together up there up north or any icing problems or anything going on up your way. But down here, I don't know if I want to call it a brownout, but things were really popping this morning.
Goodness.
You
Nope, I can't say I experienced any of that. How about you, John?
John's not quite with us. He's he's on the other line right now. But we'll have John T. Meyer from Lemonly on with us just as quick as we can today to talk. We're going to talk tech today. We've got some things with Facebook we want to talk about. And then, of course, it's the holidays now. We took a little break there for the political season to sort of get behind us. But we definitely want to talk about, gifting and things like that for the holidays, as we normally do with Black Friday just being around the corner. But that immediately came to mind was the UPS this morning as it was clicking away sitting next to me. I'm like, maybe that's something to keep an eye out on for some sales coming up here, because that's definitely something. This is that, spring lightning storms and then, ice storms in the winter are the times that you really think about those things.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's really nothing better if you're kind of living in an area where, power can be an issue, the issues you're describing. The electronic equipment you have, and it's better than it used to be, but things like even DVD players and DVRs, they can really take a beating from power fluctuations or power outages. So having a good UPS, especially if your system is very critical, is a smart plan. We should probably, maybe describe what that actually is to people. UPS is a uninterrupted power supply, and not only does it make sure that you have power when power might be disconnected, but as you were describing, it kind of regulates the power that's coming in to your computer, so it stays at a steady stream, and instead of fluctuating, you were describing a brownout where the lights kind of flicker. That won't affect your electronics nearly like it would if it was plugged directly into the wall. So it's something I don't think a lot of people think about or buy, but it's definitely something worth having.
Yeah, I think it's something people should think about. And this is the way I picture it in my mind. I'm not an electrical engineer, but this thing's kind of a big battery. And
in fact, it is a big battery.
Yeah. So it's really kind of running your power through that battery, and if the power ever gets insufficient, and it judges that, it's gonna kick in, and that's the sound I hear. And it kicks that it's actually switching, or some solenoid or something is switching that power over to the battery backup, or supplying that until such point as the power coming into the box gets to the point where it can give me that power back. I just sort of think of it as a cleaner, really.
That's in fact one of the best things that it does. For the most part, we if the power goes out and things go out, the computer's like the last thing that you really care about, unless you happen to be working on something important. So being able to run that on battery, especially if the internet's likely down, not such a big deal. Well, I should say, especially since we all have internet on our phones and that's not necessarily required. But the cleaning the power or regulating the power, the portion you're describing is definitely the most important part. And you can get power regulators that aren't battery backups that do very much the same thing, but they don't give you the protection of being able to keep the power on your device or devices if the power goes off. One thing we should note, the more devices you want to try and power with a battery backup, the larger and more expensive the battery backup can get. You can get, short-term ones or just power regulators for, you know, as low as $30 now, maybe $35. And kind of $80 to $100 is kind of what you expect to get. But they're quite a bit cheaper and quite a bit more accessible, a lot more brands than when we first talked about them, you know, well over 10 years ago.
Yeah, and you make a good point. They come in all sizes. So you need to buy the size that you're going to plug in. Obviously, if it's a laptop or, and laptops kind of already, because this is probably wrong, but they kind of already have that built in. They got that battery that's in the laptop, but I don't think it really acts as a UPS. But anyway, whatever you have, a large gaming system that draws, depending on the power supply, if it's drawing 100 and whatever watts, is going to be a lot different than somebody else's smaller, more efficient computer. So it depends on how much you're going to plug. If you're going to plug your cable modem and your router and your computer and your printer and everything that sort of typically surrounds you in your home or home office or maybe even in your office, then you're going to need to not buy the smallest one that there is or the most least expensive. You're going to need to figure out how many watts that's going to draw and be protected for that, because these come in all sizes, literally from, they look like a plug strip to looking like a really fat plug strip to, something that's even bigger than that. And in fact, they make these whole house versions as well.
Yeah, I was going to mention that you can purchase one, and a lot of people are opting to do this on new construction, especially in higher-end homes where your whole house is protected by a power regulator or surge protector.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... There's lots of options, I guess we should say. So take a look at it, but make sure you don't plug more into that device than you're actually rated to do, because then you kind of negate the reason you bought it in the first place.
Exactly. So, yeah, right size that to begin with. Buy it a little large, because you never know what else you're going to be plugging into that thing. All of a sudden, you get a new set of speakers and that they're powered, and you want to plug those in, and then all of a sudden you get a scanner and you want to plug that in, and it all draws. What's nice is the newer ones will actually show you the draw. There's a nice LCD or LED display on the front of that that you can walk through some menus, and it'll tell you, even at a resting state, how much power you're still drawing sitting there. And then when you have everything all fired up and how much you're drawing, it's an interesting thing to look at. If you've never really considered that, there are some great features there. There are even versions you can plug your computer into them USB. They'll shut your computer off for you if it looks like they're going to run out of juice. I haven't ever hooked that stuff up. I thought, I didn't really think I would probably need that, but there is the ability to shut appliances off. If you do suffer a power loss and it is going to run out of batteries, it will more kindly shut your devices off, which is kind of a neat thing as well. So,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject, is there anything we need to do differently when the temperature drops like this with our smaller electronics? Is there stuff we can't leave in the car anymore, or we need to take more special care when we bring it in from the cold or take it out to the cold?
Well, this weather's not so bad because, we're between 30 and 40 when it's snowing like this. So, you'd have to leave a device out in your car for, weeks on end in that kind of weather before it would actually get too cold to want to use. But, as we get into January and February, when the temperatures can get to the below zero or 10 below zero range. And if you've forgotten a phone out, I'm sure many people have done this, a phone or especially a laptop outside, and they get super cold. Basically, what you want to do is, if you have the option, just kind of let it come to room temperature on its own. Don't try and heat it up or stick it in the blanket or, you know, rub your hands all on it. And you don't want to heat it up too fast, because condensation from water can sometimes cause a problem. Not always. That's not a big issue. But just, you know, be smart about it. Just warm it up to room temperature before you use it, and don't try to unnaturally warm a device like that up. But definitely you want to warm it up before you use it. If it gets that really low range, you know, that below 10 or so.
I try to do that with my camera gear. Leave it in the bag even. Don't pull it out immediately and set it on your counter and hope that, you know.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is that you bring up a really good point. If you keep your devices in, you know, say it's a laptop, and you keep that in a laptop case or a, you know, one of those neoprene sleeves or something like that, it's shocking how well those actually, especially the neoprene sleeves, insulate your device. You know, you can come back. I've seen articles on this. You know, you can come back just hours later, and it actually hasn't lowered in temperature because those things actually, not with protecting, kind of accidentally store the heat as well. And you know, the flip side of that, I've seen this happen, where if you put your device in one of these cases and it isn't shut off all the way or it hasn't cooled down, you can actually overheat the device by keeping it in a very warm case, like a neoprene sleeve or something like that, and that can actually cause issues with the device itself. So kind of the reverse of that is also true. If you put it away hot or accidentally leave it on, which is hard to do with some laptops, but other laptops it is not hard to do, you can actually cause serious issues. So, you know, kind of the reverse of that is also true.
Sure, exactly. Well, we're gonna step away and take a break and try to get John T. Meyer on the phone. While we do, I do want to mention we have quite busy right now at SDP, but we've got three webcasts on at the moment. We've got the A, B, and AA girls volleyball tournament live on the web right now. You can stop by our website, sdpb.org, and kind of in the middle of the page there, you'll see a little story about volleyball, which will take you over to sdpb.org/volleyball, surprisingly enough. From there, you can pick your A, B, or AA. You can check the scoreboards, so you can kind of get a lay of the land of the sessions that happened yesterday and the upcoming ones today. And then this all culminates tomorrow evening with the championship events at about 6 o'clock Central Time in all three, Brookings, Huron, and Watertown, on SDPB television. So but the live webcast today, the matches are going as scheduled in all three of those venues. You can snuggle up to your computer or put it on your television through a connected device if you'd like to. SDPB.org is where you can go. And, of course, there's a variety of social media options for you to follow the tournament on Twitter. The hashtag, I believe, is SDVolleyball16. Put that hashtag SDVolleyball16 in, and you'll find all the game updates from all three venues all 3 days. The archives are going up as well, so you can watch games from yesterday at any time at your convenience as well. SDPB.org is the place you can find that. We will step back and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Facebook and some responsibility when it comes to some hate speech and other things. They've signed a code over in Europe, and there's a lot of talk about that now in the United States, treating Facebook as more of a media company. And we're going to talk about that and, of course, have some holiday giving ideas this afternoon as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We have Joel Berovelite on the line with us today talking tech. You know, winds are starting to pick up down here. Take it easy if you're going to have to travel today. There are some no travel advisories out, so stay put if you can. And if you must travel, please check with your favorite travel site on the web or text on your phone and contact the authorities and see what's really going on out there. We want you all to stay safe, of course. Joel, we did get a question in via email. Having some problems with her iPad. Donna's having problems with her iPad, too. It's being very slow. It's locking up. It's reloading pages. She's tried, closing things that are in the background, clearing the history of web data. She's asking questions about her wireless router. Would that help her? Or do you have any maybe some tips for Donna to get her iPad 2 running better?
Well, the first thing I'd say is it's probably not the router. The things you describe sound like they're probably local on the device itself. Although if you're if your main complaint is the internet is running slow, you know, probably the best way to check that is to get a different device other than the one that you might be experiencing problems with and see if that is also an issue. Of course, the best thing to do would be run a speed test on the internet. You can just Google speed test, and 1,000 of them will pop up, and they're almost always free. You can run a few different ones to check the speed of your internet. So you can check it that way. But as far as your iPad, the first thing I'd check if it's running slow, and this would be a general tip for any iOS device, if you're out of space or nearly out of space, I should actually say this tip would be the same for any computer. If you're nearly out of space on the device, that can sometimes slow down, particularly on a laptop, but even on a tablet, if your device is completely full, it doesn't have any room to swap out virtual memory for running just kind of normal functions and internet. So what you want to do is kind of empty it out of maybe likely if it's full, it's probably photos or music. Try and maybe archive some of that stuff or get rid of apps that you're not using. But one of the best ways to make sure that you're not having a hardware issue with an iPad or iOS device is to go ahead and back it up, however it is you're going to do it, using iCloud or whatever, or just make sure you have the files on there, the pictures on a different device, and then just go ahead and erase it, do a factory reset, and then update it to the latest operating system again, which is might take you a couple hours to do all of this. So you might want to maybe do it on a weekend or an evening when you're not going to use it after that. And then just slowly put stuff back on. And if you then are still experiencing running slow, then likely it's a hardware issue, and then you decide whether you're going to fix it or replace it. But likely it probably isn't a hardware issue, and it's probably just maybe a program has a memory leak, or like I said, it's completely full and it doesn't have any room to swap out virtual memory. So that's what I would try.
Okay. That's it. That's one thing I haven't thought of. I believe I got an iPad 2 as well. That's having a few of these same issues. Now, these are getting to be about 5 years old, aren't they? Or maybe a little bit older?
No, yeah, but I think the iPad 2 is about four and a half, maybe. Yeah, so pretty close to five.
Yeah, but still very viable machines.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The iPad 2 is kind of where it started. Not that the original iPad isn't great. It is, but from the 2 on is when the more modern architecture was. I don't believe the iPad 2 will run the latest iOS, but it'll run some pretty recent versions of the iOS and still very compatible with everything. And a very quick device, especially if you're just doing your normal basic stuff. So if it seems to be running slow, then you remember it's likely either too much stuff on it, maybe a program that has a little memory leak or a glitch, and just erase the whole thing and restore, put stuff on slowly back on, and you're probably good to go.
I was going to mention, you mentioned there's a ton of speed tests out there. The one that we put on Facebook last show, so if you go to our Facebook webpage, facebook.com/techradio, you'll need to scroll down a couple of web posts, but SourceForge came out with an HTML5 speed test last month, and that thing works great. It might give you a little bit more information than you want, some ping checking and some things like that, but it's all very useful information. It's got a really great dashboard, and it's really designed to work with phones and iPads and things like that, or mobile devices, because a lot of mobile devices don't use Flash or can't, and a lot of speed tests on the internet are built using Flash. So this happens to be one that's kind of, I'd call it a next-gen speed test, and I really enjoy that. I really, I've used it quite a bit on computers and mobile and portable devices and other things, and it's always worked wonderfully for me. So check that link out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you should have mentioned that. Yeah, you definitely have to have, if you're running an iOS device, an iPhone or an iPad, you definitely have to have an HTML5 speed test. You can't use the Flash-based ones, although I think that's a net plus, not a net minus. The Flash is such a memory hog anyway, and it still is. So definitely, yeah, you should relink that, because good HTML5 speed tests, there are several, but they're a lot harder to find than, I should say, the Flash ones. Although if you do the search from your iOS device, a lot of times it will kind of do a preference for HTML5. Those are getting to be more popular even for desktop. So, good tip there.
Yeah, I in the media industry as I am, Flash has been a slow to go away. Let's just put it that way. We've known for years that the trend is moving away from Flash, but it's on the enterprise side of things. It's still a very viable thing, and it's very hard to break that that cycle right now of Flash for things. And I got to say, great strides are being made. I've peeked in behind the back door a few times and looked and seen what they're doing, and it's coming. There will be a day when we won't have to worry about Flash But it's still around. It's still very prevalent. Donna just shot us a quick note, and thank you so much. She said she's done speed tests through her carrier. All that's okay. So it's looking like maybe, Donna, the time old challenge of just resetting that iOS device might be in your future. Back it up with iCloud, because that's really great way to do it. You just sign in and everything kind of reappears for you. It does get your device cleaned off, so make sure that, you know, all the files or pictures or whatever you might have on there is backed up some other place, either in the cloud or physically, and give it a good wipe, and that's probably going to take care of things for you. But we appreciate the call so much. Joel, while we're on the news of Apple, I guess, is there any Apple news that we need to catch up on over the last month? Because this would be a good spot to talk about that.
Yeah, I kind of forget it's been you know, a whole month since we've talked. So or has it been a little over a month?
Yeah, we got that pesky election behind us now, and that's what we were building up to.
Yeah, we'll talk about something else, please. Let me think. 3 weeks ago, Apple had an event, and they finally actually updated their MacBook Pro, which is their Pro line laptop, which had kind of been, as they say, long in the tooth. Fast new processors, and a really interesting, what they call the Touch Bar, which is kind of a multi-touch strip that replaces the function keys that are right above the number keys on your keyboard with a basically a touchable LED screen that can kind of morph into different buttons, or you can change it to controls. It could be a fader or a slider for music apps. It can be a brightness control for your video editing thing. So. And those are just starting to arrive in people's hands this week. In fact, I am anxiously awaiting a UPS shipment of mine today, so I can't say how great they are yet, although I expect them to be pretty fantastic. Then, of course, it wouldn't be an Apple laptop event if it wasn't both lighter and thinner than the previous generation. So, and that also seems to be true.
You're not bothered by the lack of ports to plug things into?
Well, it uses USB C, kind of the Thunderbolt standard of that. So not really, because basically, and it has, you know, the top end models have four USB 3 ports, which you know, one of the great things is not only can it be communication with devices, but it can also be used for power, so you can kind of charge your laptop from any of the ports, and you can plug your displays into that. You can plug hard drive, DVD. You can use it to target to another computer. So really, there's no lack of connectivity with this. It just converts all of your connections to USB-C, so you then have the adapter cable or the proper cable to go to whatever device it is. I honestly don't think it's a I don't think that detracts from the device at all. Frankly, I'd rather have flexibility to have the ports kind of be whatever I need to be for wherever they are. And I have to say, other than plugging it into my, you know, my keyboard and monitor station, which I've done for years, I really never use the ports on it, because I kind of dock it in and everything plugs into my monitor, so I'll just basically do the same thing. So I don't think that that's a major drawback. In fact, I haven't even heard a lot of people complaining about that. One of the great things about the new laptop, you can run two 5K display monitors off of this laptop with those display, or with the USB-C, which is basically also compatible with HDMI. So, yeah, kind of really no lack of connectivity, frankly. Hmm. So,
all right, yeah, and here's the deal: I just need to get over it. I've got a MacBook, and when I walk around and I see other MacBooks in the building that still have an Ethernet port, you know, you can just walk up and plug a Cat5 cable into it, and I have to carry a dongle with me wherever I go, because believe it or not, I still use Ethernet occasionally, actually quite a bit, and I've just got all these dongles in my backpack, and I just yearn for the old days.
Yeah, for somebody like you, that could be kind of a drag, although I've seen on the market now, because it's such a fast port, you know, you don't have to run just one thing on that cable. You can run power, video, and USB off of it. So I fully expect there to be several different configurations of kind of breakout boxes, as we used to call them, for, you know, you plug one thing into the computer, but you have this little strip that has, maybe it has Ethernet and USB and video and power and who knows what. So I think the third-party market is going to kind of fill that need very much for the new laptop. I've already seen Apple even makes a few of the kind of the video, USB, and power kind of breakouts. So I expect to see lots of different options there. So maybe you will really only have to carry still one cable.
That would be that'd be awesome. I'm not sure what the upgrade path is for me. This machine is still doing great for me.
I mean, you know, one thing, there's a lot of talk about Apple waited a long time to update their laptops and to do a major update, and a lot of people say it's because they're more worried about phones and more worried about iPads, and while some of that's probably true, the other thing that's true is computers that are released today are just so good. I mean, not just Apple computers, just all computers are so fast, that kind of whatever you buy, it's more about the functionality and the size and how it works for you, and way less about how much storage it has and how fast the processor is and how much RAM it has. Of course, those things are important, but the needs of the consumer have slowed down considerably as people use more mobile devices, and the desktop and laptop computers have just gotten so fast and so good and so thin and so light and so this and that and the other thing, that I just think the demand for the kind of one-upsmanship we saw maybe 5, certainly 10 years ago is just not what it used to be.
Yeah. The breaking line for me was solid-state drives in laptops. That's where life really got good, in my opinion. But, you know, that's just me. Hey, we've got from our studios at University of Sioux Falls, Keely has a question for you, Joel, about iPads. You want to go ahead, Keely?
Hey, sure. First of all, I should say that I thought solid-state drives were going to be stupid and resisted for a very long time, and then finally begrudgingly let my husband...
I'm not hearing the question,
okay.
So maybe you can repeat it for me, Ken?
Yeah, well, go ahead, Keely. I think we got that fixed now.
Sounds good. Great. So I used to think that solid-state drives were not going to matter at all, and then I finally begrudgingly let my husband switch the one in my laptop, and I admit formally that he was completely right and I was wrong, and it is life-changing. So after that note that I felt compelled to say, I have been listening, and I really, really, really want an iPad Pro, like the big one that's just this magical sheet of digital paper that the stylus works beautifully on, and I just really want it. But do I get one, or are they honestly going to update this thing that I should wait it out? Because I feel like every time I finally pull the trigger on something, they update it and change it on me, and then I'm just sad that I have the old version.
Yeah, I don't think there's any planned or any likely update for, I'd like to say till summer starts, but I think it's even more likely we won't see an update to the iPad Pro, because they actually did just update the iPad Pro with a second model and kind of just a modest bump on the device itself. Let me think, September. So you know, I kind of wouldn't expect anything for another 7 to 9 months, certainly 6 months for sure. I mean, there's nothing going to be announced on that after Christmas. Now I'm saying that. Don't rewind it and kill me when I'm wrong.
Oh, I will.
Yeah. I would expect that. I just don't expect anything certainly before spring, and definitely even more likely not until summer. So I think you're safe now. Apple never messes with anything in this period until after Christmas. And even then, it usually isn't anything announced until March. That's kind of more the phone area, although they just did do a rev on that. So I kind of don't expect anything there for a bit yet either. I think we're going to see more updates maybe on the iPad mini side, the smaller versions. We might see updates. Certainly we'll see updates maybe in the desktop or consumer laptop model, but I don't see any change on the iPad Pro for certainly until after Christmas, but not likely till summer.
Keely, was there a feature or a function of it being the larger Pro that I guess attracted you to this thing, or is it just
the awesomeness?
It's bigger?
Is the awesome feature? Is that what you really wanted?
Yeah.
Yes,
the cool
the awesome feature. What yeah. I really like about it is that it seems that I can really do the things that I do on paper right now. I like the smaller iPads for things like, you know, browsing. But when I'm looking at taking notes, I'm trying to find a platform where I can take notes when I'm doing audio for SDPB news stories or something like that. And I just love how beautifully the stylus seems to work with the iPad Pro, and that it feels like a substantial piece of equipment that I could set on my lap and take notes while I'm listening to something, or set on the table and do that, as opposed to trying to, you know, cram my hand in this tiny little area. I also really like the fact that it is so responsive. And my big thing was, well, I rest my hand when I write. And every time I said that and somebody knew what they were talking about, they said, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it knows that your hand is on the board. It's just recognizing how you're going to write and what you're going to want it to do. So I don't know. I like the bigger one because I feel like it works with some of my workflow. And also it is, as I said, just kind of this magical sheet of paper, but it's this crazy, amazing thing. So although I don't want a really big like laptop, I really want a really big iPad.
Yeah, you know,
that's just
iPad
what I
Pro
am.
I have one is very fast. It's just It's faster than my current laptop by a wide margin. So I have recently pushed a lot of my desktop design work to the laptop just because it's so fast and so responsive, and I don't have to use a graphics tablet. I kind of have it all in one. It's a great device. I highly recommend it for anybody thinking that they want that size. And the Apple Pencil it works as well as it seems it works. I can't say I've taken notes on it in the way that you're talking, although I can't say that I do that anyway. But I could definitely see it for that. But as far as a replacement for a laptop, there's no question. It's as fast as most of the laptops on the market right now. So very responsive, as you say. So yeah, I think it's a great device.
What about keyboards that go with something like an iPad Pro? Is that something you wind up needing if you're really going to replace it?
Yeah, you can use any Bluetooth keyboard. The one Apple sells, which is kind of expensive, is also a case. It's pretty good. It also allows you to set the device up so it kind of functions more like a laptop. You cannot use a pointing device on it because it's a tablet and your pointing device is attached to your hand. I often think that's funny when people say, well, you can't use a mouse on it. I'm like, why would you want to? They're not designed that way. But you can use any Bluetooth keyboard. So if you want to kind of save a little money, you can use whatever Bluetooth keyboard you got laying around. You can buy a cheap one, or you can buy Apple's, which is very good. And one of the nice things is when you set it up to plug as the lid or the case function, you don't ever have to pair it. It has this special connector on the iPad that kind of automatically makes it work, which is sounds like it's not a big deal, but if you've ever had to repair a Bluetooth keyboard right when you need to type or there's a little slow to response, that can be kind of annoying. So that's a feature I really like about Apple's keyboard, but there's a lot on the market. So kind of whatever your budget is what I would recommend. I would just definitely get the Apple Pencil because you shouldn't buy that device without having the Apple Pencil, frankly.
Kent, thank you for letting me ask my question and hold Joel accountable if I get this. Yeah. And then the day after Christmas, they come up with this fancy updated
version. That won't happen, I promise you. But I often do feel like the weatherman when I tell people to buy or not buy because I can be right most of the time, but they only ever remember when I'm wrong. And yet there's still no recourse if I am. So
yeah, there you go.
Just like the weatherman.
All right. Well, we appreciate the question as well, Keely. Thank you so much. We do need to take a quick break. When we come back, I promise we're going to get to some gift ideas for the holidays. I have a few tucked away in the back of my memory that just might be the right fit for folks in your family. We're still going to talk about hopefully Germany's justice minister talking about Facebook and hate speech, and we want to get to that after this quick break. Just a note that in December, we'll be back with two Fresh Tech Radios, December 2nd and the 16th, so even a couple more shows before the Christmas deadline for buying gifts, and we'll certainly highlight more products and have more innovation then as well. Get a hold of us midday at sdpb.org if you have questions for us today. Check out that link to the speed test on facebook.com/techradio, or if you just want to search for it, SourceForge is the company, SourceForge and speed test, and it'll come up with the amazing combination of those words in a URL that you can use to check your speeds. Not a bad thing to do if things are seeming a little sluggish. It's not a bad thing to check up on your cable modem and your router every now and then. Make sure you're getting all the speed that you're paying for. But we'll have more with the show and Joel after this. And welcome back to this last Tech Radio in November. Hopefully looking forward to a good turkey day. Is you got your tofurkey already bought, Joel?
I do. I got two because, it's modern life, so you have to have Thanksgiving one day with one family and then another day with another family. So, yeah.
And those
all set with the tofurkey.
And they probably don't go bad anytime soon then.
No, you kind of keep them frozen. They're a lot less work than dealing with an actual turkey, I have to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of, well, anyway, let's not get into Turkey Confidential here. That's another show on public radio. Are there anything that you're picking out in your mind? Have you seen anything in the Black Friday ads that are really setting it apart for you this year?
I haven't had a chance to look at the ads. I always mean to, but I never really do until Thanksgiving. Somebody's always got the paper around somewhere, and then I check it out.
Yeah.
I still look at the paper one, although I think most of the ads you can see online. One thing that, I keep meaning to bring this up, although it's been a month since we've had the show, I finally pulled the trigger and got a 3D printer.
Oh, you did?
Just because I figured I had to know about how it worked. And it is the singular most amazing device I have ever used, because you make something on your computer, and then like an hour later you have this physical object in your hand. It is mind-bogglingly cool. I could never have imagined such a thing when I was a kid. And and I've mentioned this before on the radio. You hear all the time, we especially heard it during the election, we need to bring manufacturing back to the United States. I don't know how there's going to be any manufacturing in the world because of these devices. I mean, it's probably for another show, but it's just an amazing device. And now they're getting to the under 500 range, which is the range I got one in. You can get them as low as $250, which I grant you is a very expensive Christmas gift. But if it's the kind of thing that if you've got a few kids in the house and you have some use for it, which you'd be surprised that you do. Quick story on this. I actually replaced a part on a dishwasher that I was installing because it didn't come, and I went and I found somebody who had made a 3D model of it, and I printed it out, and it's currently on my dishwasher. So very cool device. I highly recommend getting one if you're at all kind of a tinkerer, and now you can get them under $500.
So I'm just curious, your daughter, is she as excited about this as you are, or are you just nerding out on this?
I think she would probably just run me into the poorhouse on filament if I just let her do whatever she wanted to. Whatever you can think of, you can either design or find somebody else that's already designed it and print, and you can scale it and adjust it and do all sorts of things. Yeah, it's a pretty neat little, it's basically like the modern version of an erector set, to be honest with you.
I suppose.
Whatever you can do, you can kind of just make.
Right. You want to step back and make sure everybody knows that they can get a hold of us here at the show today. You can call, text, tweet, email us your questions, or simply swing by facebook.com/techradio, post your question or comment there. Don't be shy. At KentSDPB is my Twitter handle. Feel free to send us off a note there. The most popular thing is our email address, midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, midday, at sdpb.org. You can drop us a note there as well if you happen to be in email right now. You can do that anyway. If you have any questions or comments for the show, or maybe you're thinking tech for the holidays for a member of the family and you're just looking for that right idea, there's a lot of really good ideas out there. I have perused a few of the ads, Joel. The shocker is the there are several big box stores and other online outlets that have in the neighborhood of 50-inch the ultra high definition television sets. They're the you hear them called 4K commonly, in the like $400 range.
Yes, it seems we're always surprised because the TVs always come down this time of year.
Every year.
To be so much cheaper than they were last year and so much better. It is amazing the very highest end of TVs we were seeing a year or two ago are now within kind of striking distance of the average person. So yeah, there's always great TV deals to be had.
I was glad to see that some of the mainstays that we normally talk about, those connected devices for televisions like the Rokus, the Fire TVs, the Chromecasts, those ways of getting media from either the internet or from your laptop or from your home device or whatever onto a television set or onto a projector. It seems like there's fresh versions of all those products are out for this year. We don't normally see that. We see price drops. We see other things. But it appears that there are updates in all of those product lines. So not only are there fresh prices, but there's fresh product there as well.
In line with that, you know, just to kind of quick go over what I was thinking for holidays, you know, two other devices I would highly recommend would be the new Apple TV, which right in line with what you're saying, it was recently updated and has lots of great, I guess maybe it wasn't that recent, although they did just do an iOS update, lots of great ways to watch TV, watch live TV through it, and as well as integrates with your devices that you already have. So, and I think those are around 150. You can get a version for under 100. Those are great. One of the other devices that I really like, for $50, you can get the Amazon Echo Dot, which is basically like the Amazon Echo, but they're very small, about the size of a
hockey puck.
Yeah, exactly. They, in fact, look like a hockey puck. And you can plug it into external speakers. It has a little speaker on its own. This is a device that has literally changed the way things work in my house. I have, I don't even want to say how many I have. We have many of them, and everybody in my house knows how to use them. Not that they're complicated, but we use them for so many things. Of course, we use them to turn lights on and off, things like that in our house. But if you're listening to the radio right now, which likely you are since you heard that, we use ours for listening to public radio or music. That's all we use. So I highly recommend that device. You can dip your toe for $50 where it used to be $200. So
yeah.
I recommend that.
That was on my list. And of course, if you have a traveler in the family, there's a lot of really great travel chargers out that have USB and other things built into them. A couple extra plugins, because you always need those in hotels. So there's more than we can talk about on today's show, believe it or not. And quite often, as things happen, we're running out of time. But like I said, we do have a couple more tech radios before Christmas, December 2nd, December 16th. We'll try to get some lists up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. I want to thank Joel Brovelite so much. And again, recommend everybody, if you're traveling, be sure to check out those road conditions. Have a great weekend, everybody.